I'm going to be introducing the next speaker, who is Dr. Rahama Martin. She's a psychiatrist, psychotherapist, feminist, and human rights activist. She is the founder and president of Physicians for Human Rights Israel, which started in 1988. She has written numerous articles on psychiatry, human rights, and psychopolitical analysis. She is the recipient of several peace and human rights awards, including the Jonathan Mann Award for Health, Global Health and Human Rights, 2002, and the Right Livelihood Award, which is the alternative Nobel Prize in 2010. Rahama. So you push this button here, okay, to make it go forward.
Thank you, Alice. Hi, everybody. Well, I'm really excited. It's not my language, it's not my country, but maybe it is my colleagues, friends, and I'm happy to see you here.
You talk really close to it.
Now, can you hear me or not? Yes? Good. So, PHR Israel, which means, of course, Physicians for Human Rights Israel, was founded 25 and a half years ago as an outcome of the First Intifada. And it's still going. I would like to... Okay, now I know how to operate it.
Let's go back.
PHR Israel is the only one Israeli organization, Norbert, that is allowed by the Israelis to enter Gaza Strip since Israel imposed the siege on the Strip in July 2007. Saying that we are allowed to enter Gaza Strip, it's a kind of half-true. We were allowed to enter Gaza Strip, by the way, in the year 2008. It was kind of half-permission. The Jewish part of PHR was not allowed to enter Gaza Strip. The Palestinian Israeli citizens, members of PHR Israel, were allowed to enter Gaza Strip. Nothing could help us. We went to the High Court and asked and pleaded and It's there. Only Israeli Palestinians are allowed to enter Gaza, and good Jewish people like me are not. So we didn't like it in the beginning, but with the years, since then we managed to enter Gaza 32 times. Each time is between 2 days to 3 days, more or less. Not less, maybe more. So on the other hand of this kind of permits, we found out that it is quite nice that only the Israeli Palestinians are entering Gaza. It empowers the Israeli Palestinian people, which usually they are not empowered at all. It gives them a kind of, we can do it. Only us can do it, which is very nice. And they are a kind of delegation which make this normalization as if a kind of, okay, it's not a normalization. which is also nice to my understanding. And it's also us, the Palestinian members of PHR, they are the only delegates to Gaza. And they are proud of it. So everyone is happy, more or less. So let me continue, because you will stop me. Okay. So, you can see it as well, and I guess you know every sentence that it's written here. We are for right of health in the broadest sense of it, which is the rights of the Palestinians, saying that, of course, we are against the occupation, and we're saying it very loudly. This is why we are the only one Israeli NGO that is above or behind the anti-normalization policy of the Palestinians, and rightly so. Now we are now, depends when the now starts, but we are not only against the occupation, but also against the apartheid, which is for sure in the occupied Palestinian territory, but it's also coming and present itself in Israel itself, within the Green Line. Of course, we are dealing with the rights of migrants and asylum seekers, which are in awful state in Israel, prisoners and detainees, most of them are Palestinian prisoners and detainees, and the poor and unprivileged citizens of Israel, like single mothers, the elderly, and, if I may say so, people of color of Jewish origin. So, going back to Gaza, this is the mobile clinic to the West Bank, not Gaza, forget it. It's to the West Bank. We are going there to the West Bank each and every Shabbat, which means Saturday. 4 times a month, except for added days here and there of training days, medical training days, expertise days. For example, if we can recruit ear, nose, and yes. So people from all over the West Bank will come to this specific day with their specific problems. And it goes as well to many other medical professions. So the normal, if I may say so, mobile clinic, the numbers you can see, maybe I can skip it. Just generally speaking, it's over 8,000 patients that we saw and over 1,000 children. So that was to the West Bank, as you remember. Now I will talk more of the medical delegation to Gaza Strip. In 2007, the blockade on Gaza started in the middle of the year, July. Gaza Strip was always poor, neglected, undeveloped, but since the siege everything went down more than it was before. What we could do, PHR, Israel, not only doing those delegations or kind of mobile clinic, well, 30 visits, you didn't correct, it's 32. I send it to you. So he is to blame, not me. It's not only that we are doing operations, complicated operations, but it's also training to professionals in Gaza Strip. Not only that, it's all, we are trying as much as we can to collect data for our political work, which is number one for us, not the medical work, which is number two. And it is very important, the order. So, to let you know a little bit about Gaza Strip, I guess that most of you are really knowledgeable about it. There are maybe 1.6 million, no one knows exactly the number, of residents there. Around 39% of individuals suffers from poverty. Now it is even more so. 9 hospitals are there. Around 5,000 patients need treatment outside the Gaza Strip. Why is that so? Because nothing was developed there. And because the Israeli occupation was very interested in not developing anything in Gaza Strip, economically speaking, educationally speaking, and for us, which is more important, health and medical care. So it is in a very poor position, shortage of everything you can think of. The equipment is really either very old and or broken, and they cannot repair it because the Israelis don't give them permits to import the things unless they are recently arriving by the tunnels, and medicines depend on the Egyptians, because the Israeli medications are very, very expensive, and this is one thing. The other thing, not less important, maybe equal, is they are not so keen on buying things, no matter what, from Israel. Okay, so you can read it for yourself. I will go on. Right? Right. Better than me. A main problem is the permit problem. And the problem is created by Israel. If it's written here that around 10% of applications are delayed or denied, well, the word delayed might be kind of innocent word. It is not. Because when the process is delayed, the appointment in the hospital back in Israel is cancelled. So the poor person needs to start the whole process again, which is a question of weeks. It can be 3, up to 6, up to 8 weeks. And it is urgent medical situation. Most of the people cannot wait that long. And many people prefer not to start this whole thing. So their option is to die at home. And that's what they are doing. So the numbers are revealing only the number of the people who are asking for permission, not the real number of people in need. And then what Alice said so in such a better language than mine, the GSS, what we call Shabak, intervening and trying to chantage, to blackmail people in need. Either you cope, you help me, I help you, system. So if people are not willing to help, so they have no other option but to go back home and die there. And many people choosing this way, some other choosing the other way, of course. The Rafa, which we call Rafah, is a great help for the residents of Gaza Strip. But it's a kind of open, close, close, open, according to many reasons. When it is open, thousands of people are going from Gaza to Egypt, which is not a simple trip. They cannot use anything but buses or private cars. So it's one day ride. No planes, no trains, no ships. It's the most difficult way. Most of the year it's very, very hot. And it's really an awful trip. But this is the best thing they have, because when it is closed, most of the people are remain in Gaza and cannot get out. Let me tell you shortly what we are doing there in Gaza. We are choosing the most difficult medical cases. If I have time, I can tell you two. This one, she was a 51 years old woman with a with cancer in her, not bowels, in her colon cancer. And she was not to be operated on, according to the knowledge and equipment in Gaza. One of our doctors went in, get a very good look at the case, sent her to MRI, operated her, though most of the equipment was not in good shape, and it was 7 hours operation along the night. No one went home of the Palestinian doctors, and it was so revealing for them that, yes, you can do it. One of the outcomes of this operation was that we established a kind of a hotline that every physician will have a certain every Gazan physician will have a certain Israeli-Palestinian physician that he can ask questions and get whatever possible training via the phone. Okay, I skip the other thing. The other case. And this is the other case. Maybe I need this minute, and maybe I still another minute, if she will. Why we are still, Pedro, still going to Gaza? One might ask this question, because it's such a big effort. We are getting the permit usually on Thursday evening, and we need to go the day the the morning of Friday. We have a night to prepare ourselves. We never get it few days ahead. And it's really difficult. And then going there and the whole thing. So why we are doing that? It's only political reasons, to my understanding. Every time we are going there, we are as if penetrating this wall of separation between Israel and the Palestinians. And this is a very important thing to us. Via these little holes that we're creating, we can activate solidarity. We can activate kind of friendship. And it is also, in the same time, a subversive attitude against this segregation, apartheid policy, which we are really against it. And maybe the last thing is to show to the international community, listen, people, things can be done. Have a look. You are doing very little or practically nothing in Gaza case. So please look and see that we are doing these efforts. You can do maybe even more if you really like to do. Thank you.